With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, or I should be being spookier, shouldn't I? It's the Halloween special.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is Spooky David Reed, but with me as always is the ghost of Merrick Lawood.
Hello, David. I'm watching you. Take your trousers off.
Okay.
Put it in my hand. Put it in my hand. Say my name.
The ghost of Merrick Lawood.
Good boy.
This is a film This is a film podcast. Buddy got very excited by that voice.
Well, it sounds quite difficult for you to do on a regular basis.
Do you know what?
What?
Rather than talk rubbish.
Yeah. It's Halloween. That's we're getting people in the mood.
We've got to go straight into an email.
No.
To set up the podcast.
Things are different. It's scary.
I'm talking about it like it's my idea, but it's actually yours.
Okay, yeah. Okay, what's this email? To be read in the style of the Monster Mash narration.
They did the Monster Mash. Hello, gents and dog. As it is now October, it is time to chat about horror movies. Can you name 5 decent horror films from this decade? The rise of CGI and found footage has tainted the genre, and too many films are falling for the same tired formulas. Creepy children, quiet bang scares, or remaking 80s classics. Apart from It Follows and A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, maybe there really hasn't been any interesting / decent films of the genre. Can you name 5 decent horror films of recent times? And what will you be doing for Halloween? It would be nice for the Film Fandango folk to come up with some short horror films for a mini-competition. 1 minute horrors. All the best, Francis Jolly! That was a gorilla in the corner.
He was a bit of a gorilla. I mean, 1 minute films.
I mean, we really aren't giving you much time, as it's Friday and Halloween's on Sunday. But if you want to do that, sure. Get so committed.
I've got too much work on.
Yeah, right. Far too busy. I got asked to
be a ghost.
To go do an improv show that isn't even on Halloween, but it's close to it. In Halloween costume. I'm just like, oh God, I can't be bothered.
What, the improv or the Halloween?
No, the Halloween, it's fine, I like improv. On Halloween, I'm doing a show I am excited about called Seance Fiction. We're doing an improvised seance in Clapham.
And where can you go and see that? Whereabouts in Clapham?
The Clapham Omnibus Theatre.
Oh, we'll go to that if you want to
see. Yeah, it should be exciting. We've never tried it before, but it's a good bunch of improvisers.
What happens if you summon up a demon?
If we accidentally summon up a demon, you will get your money back. So, you know, can't say fairer than that, can you?
That would be quite good, yeah.
So mentioned in that letter was It Follows, that we've talked about a lot, and A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
And a few people have mentioned that.
Yeah, it looks interesting. It's got that French lady from Inglourious Basterds in it, hasn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't that the main lady in it? The one who runs the cinema in Inglourious Basterds?
No.
It is.
No, it's not.
Isn't it? She looks very similar to that lady. No, you're right, it's not. Oh, I thought it was her. Well, I'm not interested then.
This is... It's an Iranian ghost town.
Right, ghost town?
Yeah, it's called Bad City. It's sort of a fake place.
Okay.
And
like Hotel Transylvania?
No, not like Hotel Transylvania. So the place is called Bad City, and that's not... I don't know if it's a sort of nod to the fact that stylistically...
It's like Sin City.
Does very much look like Sin City.
Well, it's that high contrast black and white. Do they add colour to it as well?
No, it's just high contrast black and white. But it looks absolutely beautiful. It's one of those... It's directed by and written by Anna Lily Amirpour, her name is. I probably pronounced it wrong because I'm a bloody idiot. But I think she's probably going to... Well, off the back of this, she's going to be doing a lot of arty, sort of quite new, fresh films.
But won't she be lured to doing Hollywood normal films now that she's made a successful small film?
Well, the next thing she's doing is a thing called A Bad Batch, with a dystopian love story, it says in IMDb, in a Texas wasteland. It says in the community of cannibals. So that'd be quite interesting.
But it does have Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey and Jason Momoa.
Oh, Giovanni Ribisi's in it.
He's in everything.
Everything. He's being crying or something. And Blossom.
Is it Blossom? Oh, right, I thought you meant it's got Blossom in it.
No. I thought this was... It's quite a slow film. I thought it was going to be about Iran, but it's not. It feels vaguely Iranian.
Does
but
she also have a quite, burqa on?
Yeah. But it also very Western in the style of... It's half vampire, half love story. It's minimal. It follows only a few characters. It feels like Sin City and quite familiar in that way. It's very slow paced, but quite Moorish, just you don't know what you're watching. It feels very, although there's some echoes of other films in it, like a bit like when Tarantino first came on the scene.
Yeah,
he sort of shook things up and it felt new but also familiar.
Yes,
this feels new but also, you know,
sort
same
of
thing.
Eclectic.
Yes,
well, it's you can be. You can create very interesting but also popular things that way, can't you? I mean,
yeah.
Harry Potter was exactly that. Not to, you know, go on about Harry Potter too much, but Harry Potter, the books I'm talking about, is a lot like a lot of other things that came before it, but they just have all been collected together into a new thing, you know?
I think she's from... The director's from an American back... She's got Iranian heritage and she's sort of feels like some half L.A., half Iranian.
Right.
So it's that mix of it. But from that hybrid has come this really different feeling.
What's the setup of the story?
The setup is it follows just... there's a guy, almost like James Dean-like guy in a white T-shirt, good-looking but quite likeable bloke, who spent all his money on a really, really cool sort of 1950s great car.
Right.
And this drug dealer sort of basically... takes off him, and it follows the stories of about three or four characters in the town. That guy, his dad, and all the characters have got not foibles. They've done something. They've committed some sort of sin. The other characters.
So they're all haunted in some way, are they? Or
yeah, and whether the vampire is almost just some sort of conscience. There's some sort of other story there, but it looks beautiful. Not a huge amount happens. It's not especially gory, but very effective.
Right.
For what it does. I really enjoyed it. I thought the music was great as well. I'm trying to see what the budget is on it. I should have done this beforehand, but you know, that's what's charming about this podcast. You realise it's just me filling in while I'm looking up stuff on the computer.
Yeah.
I don't know what the budget was. I would highly recommend this film, as I think it's... As Fran Jolly said, there's now two great horror films this year. It Follows and A Girl Who Walks Home Alone at Night. And they both are, I say, familiar but genre really fresh horror films. that, and it is very cinematic. I would like to see it on the big screen because it feels like very cinematic.
Now, to answer the second part of that initial email of the top five horror films, we are joined by a not so special guest, but horror aficionado. Miss Danielle Ward, hello.
Hello, Ms.
Ms.
Yeah.
Ms, what did I say?
Miss.
Oh, sorry, Ms.
That's right.
Ms.
Why is it Ms?
Because it doesn't matter if you're married or not. Like with men, Mr. Is a Mr. married? You don't know.
So it's like mysterious.
It's mysterious, yeah.
Okay, with mysterious Danielle Ward.
Isn't there a song Mysterious Girl about you?
It's about all unmarried women.
Oh, unmarried women.
That's
I want to get close to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horror films.
Yeah.
I mean, the question was actually about whether we could pick five great horror films from the last year that didn't include It Follows.
But I think that's more what
it's quite hard. We've not seen all
five
of them.
Five great horror films from the last year?
10 years.
Oh, 10 years, okay. Then.
I think it's much...
It wasn't 10 years, was it?
I can't remember.
I don't think 10 horror films have come. 5 horror films have come out this year.
What moments have made you scared in films? That's what I'm interested in.
What moments? Okay. You know, have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yes.
And the bit where... So, I love Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw all of the Nightmare Elm Street films when I was little. My dad's friend at work had Sky Telly and he'd take the films for me. I was 9 years
Fancy.
Old.
Oh, my God!
I know.
My uncle did that and he posted The Simpsons to me from London to York, which was very good of him.
Were you a 9-year-old watching 18-plus films?
I was a 5-year-old watching The Shining, but apart from that...
There's a bit in Nightmare on Elm Street where when Nancy wakes up, and she's gone into the dream to get Freddy, and she wakes up in her bed, and he's not there. And then suddenly he jumps up from beside the bed, and even though I've seen it so many times, that bit always scares me. Also, the bit where she's running up the stairs and her feet sink into the staircase.
Oh.
It's an amazing bit of special effect, I think.
It's that era of practical special effects that just makes horror even worse,
I think,
doesn't
it? It's really scary, really, really scary. And the transformation in American Werewolf in London. In fact...
Oh, really? Yeah, you think it's scary?
I saw American Werewolf in London when I was 4 years old, and by accident, my parents were watching it with their friends, and the bit in the cinema, which is now really
they
funny...
They didn't notice you were in the room
it's
for
now
2 hours.
Right, the bit in the cinema is so funny that I put it, when I did a chore tour playlist where you have to pick your top favourite funny things, I put it down as one of my favourite funny things ever. But when I was 4 years old, that scared the bejizzes out
which
of me.
Bit?
In the porn cinema.
Oh, yeah, with the rotting
friends. With all the rotting friends that he's killed as a werewolf.
I was really scared. I'm still scared of a bit in that film. It's the monsters.
The guy with the
machine guns are coming. They're terrifying.
Yeah. Because it's a dream within a dream, though.
Yeah, yeah. And it goes back to the hospital bed.
And then...
That's terrifying.
That bit is really scary because they're watching The Muppets as well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing that really scares me in films, and again, because I saw it, I caught the very end of it on telly when I was young. It was on Channel 4, I think, is the end of Carrie. Carrie's a great film, quite scary, and the very end of Carrie where Anne is going to put the flowers on the Carrie's grave and the bloody hand comes up, that's really scary.
They loved doing that final scare in that period of horror, though, didn't they?
They do.
The unexpected final jumpings.
I remember being terrified when I saw Friday the 13th the first time. My brother said, just watch this. And I was about 11 and went downstairs and watched it and really shut my pants.
Mm.
But I saw Friday the 13th, the first one, not scary.
Yeah.
But Friday the 13th, part 3.
I've not seen part 3. Is part 3 scary?
I haven't seen it since I was about 13.
Yeah.
I shit my pants. That was really scary, I thought.
Really?
Because it wasn't as theatrical as... it's the same film, basically, remade.
Yeah. Have you seen either Freddy versus Jason or Jason X?
No, rubbish.
Freddy versus Jason is kind of fun. Jason X is in space, and I think I might have seen it, but I don't remember anything about it.
There's a leprechaun film in space as well, isn't there?
I love doing that. But we're off the topic of film.
Is in space the horror equivalent of sitcom characters going on holiday to Spain?
Yes.
Is that what it is? What are we going to do with the character next? Well, space, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so...
Really genuinely scary moments.
Genuinely scary moment. The Exorcist. And I don't think this was in the original cut of The Exorcist. And I think they put it back in. I think it might be in the director's cut.
Oh, the crab walk.
The crab walk, yeah.
Down the stairs. The crab walk, yeah,
down the stairs.
Yeah.
It's
that,
really funny.
That wasn't in the original one I saw. And then I saw it again in a cinema in Peru. And yeah, it was the full cut with
yeah,
everything.
It's the director's cut.
I'm not necessarily scared of non things when they cross that into the inhuman realm,
but it was it's such a surprise because you're not expecting it. It's just like, and it takes your mind a while to go, what on earth is that? You know
the exit, like the whole thing with The Exorcist is the first half hour is really boring, and then it sort of ramps up and ramps up and ramps up. That bit comes quite early in the film, the crab walk, so you're like, it's been really boring, yeah she's been possessed, yeah, and then there's this crab walk and you're like,
I never found it scary, but there's a bit in The Exorcist 2 which is phenomenal. I think it's and the film is rubbish. It's a shot of a hallway and at a nurse's in a hospital, and it's just, and my friend said that something really bad happens in this bit, and I just, this camera's static and it's down the hall,
yeah,
and you just know something's going to happen because the camera's static and there's people going about their business,
yeah.
And then something really horrific happens to one. You just see almost like a scream, like a monster following. So that's terrifying. And still, a great shot.
Yeah.
I'm still scared. The ending of Blair Witch Project I found terrifying.
I've never seen that.
I didn't at all. I still don't get it. I don't get the Blair Witch Project. Like, I think maybe I'd had it too hyped up by people. But I was told, you know, oh, it gets under your skin and into your soul and it won't leave you. It'll really bother you. And I saw it on Halloween night at midnight and had to walk back home through trees. And still, I'm just like, this is... I didn't find it in any way scary at all. The whole thing just bored me.
What are you scared of?
I did used to be afraid of... This is true. I did used to be... I was quite young, but afraid of Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester in The Addams Family. I found his just like gurning face really frightening.
But you find it's quite bad talking to me now.
It's really helping me get through it, actually, doing these podcasts with you. But I remember that our toilet window used to have that dappled glass that sort of, so you can see shapes through it, but you can't see.
It looks like a dick,
through it.
But
no, can't. Exactly. So no one can stare at your penis. And
they can make out the shape of your penis.
The full moon, of course.
That's very bobbly. Is that the glass or is it the...
Is it bobbly penis?
Yeah.
No, but I remember the full moon, my imagination would go, that's Uncle Fester staring through the window at me, having a poo.
At least you knew if he was having a shit, he would be not... I mean, he wouldn't be able to kill you then, would he?
Why?
Who's on the toilet?
No, I was on the toilet. The moon wasn't inside and I wasn't staring through the window into the toilet.
Oh, right, I got confused.
The moon is in the sky, Marek. It's outside.
What, all the time?
Well, yeah.
Well, not in the daytime.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes you can see it.
Did you talk recently about the film Pet Sematary?
Yes, we
Zelda
did.
Zelda used to scare me when I was young.
Oh,
the
God,
sister
we didn't
on the bed. Oh, my
Zelda.
God, that's the scariest bit of Pet Sematary.
Terrific.
The sister with spinal meningitis, and she's on the bed, and there's something weird about her, and that's because she's played by a man.
She looks like Crichton's melted.
Yeah, it's horrible, that bit. It's really, really frightening.
It is. I really recommend Pet Sematary. It's a really fun
film. Yeah, they remade it with Edward Furlong, didn't they?
Did they?
And then that's Pet Sematary 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't very scary. Yeah. But because I've got my main problem with modern horror, as I have said before on this podcast, is the way that it's just like, quiet, loud.
Crick-cracking.
And the crick-cracking, when a body doing something weird and they just put that crick-cracking noise over the top of it. Whereas the scariest thing in any horror film is someone in a mirror, as everybody knows.
That's why I don't think people should buy cabinet mirrors. You know,
I could never have a mirror in my bath. I couldn't have
a cabinet mirror. Just have
bathroom.
A mirror that doesn't move, and you've solved that problem.
I don't even like looking into a sink and then looking up.
What's going to be there? Oh, right, someone's back. When there's a mirror.
Yeah, when there's a mirror.
I thought you just meant looking into
the
thing.
No, just in general, no.
Right, okay.
Have you seen It Follows yet?
Yes.
Are you a champion of it.
I thought it was great. It was really good. A really clever, excellent. Interesting film. I'll tell you what.
I think it sort of eclipsed The Babadook. Like, I think we would celebrate The Babadook more if It Follows hadn't come out so soon afterwards.
Much better.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
The Babadook is a bit on the nose with its themes.
With its allegory.
It Follows isn't really. Just back on things, because now lots of, like, I was so obsessed with horror when I was younger, and now I do really like a good horror film, but I can't stand very gory horror films because it just makes me a bit sad. The thing that scared me most when I was younger was the R. White's Lemonade advert, because he'd creep down the stairs, and I'm a secret lemonade drinker, and then there are, like, and he opens the fridge and he gets out the lemonade, and
we
he
all
some
remember,
lemonade.
Yeah.
He shuts the fridge, his wife's there. Totally fine. There were a couple of times, like, they put out some special adverts where he opened the fridge as a drink, closed it, and it wasn't his wife, it was Frankie Howard, and it scared the fuck out of me. It's really frightening. Even now, it's making me feel really shivery.
It's true, I remember that. That they had alternate endings,
they
didn't
did,
they?
They did, and there was other people, not just Frankie Howard, but he's the one I remember first. Oh my god, I couldn't drink R. White's
from
lemonade until I was...
Well,
yeah.
Henry Cooper must have been one of them. He was over there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't...
The Fonz, was he in it?
I couldn't have R. White's Lemonade till I was 23.
Wow. Frankie Howard.
Yeah, I remember Frankie Howard.
Terrifying.
One. Really, really frightening.
What was scary about it?
Because it wasn't what you were expecting. It was like, you know, it might as well have been Michael Myers, the horror film character, not the actor.
Yes.
That would have also been frightening. It could have been anybody. Like, the scary thing is, there's a stranger in your house. It doesn't matter if it's Frankie Howard a serial rapist.
But
it's frightening.
It Follows uses that very well to its effect, because it's not like gory monsters that come out. It's just someone
unexpected.
You weren't picturing.
Yeah.
That's all it is. They do that brilliantly.
Yeah.
I find going to another film that I find scary, The Omen. I find really scary.
The Omen. Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, it's got
the bit
that
with the head's good.
The decapitation with the plate of glass.
Some of the best deaths ever in that.
Oh yeah, and the lift. That's in The Omen, isn't it?
Omen
the,
2, that is.
Oh,
is
that The Omen 2?
Start of Omen 2, yeah.
The Omen's the spike through the vicar, isn't it? Yeah.
Spike through the vicar. Yep.
Great film. But I think it's the first time when you watch it when you're young, you've got adults who are powerless.
Yeah.
I think it was a really good move casting Gregory Peck, who's almost this sort of male authority figure that people associated with To Kill a Mockingbird, and someone who's in total control. He plays these sort of characters who are presidential type
actor. Yeah, unflappable, aren't
they? Yeah. And he plays an ambassador, doesn't he? He's the ambassador.
Yeah.
So, and that seeing him rattled was quite... As a younger man, scary for me.
Yeah.
What's in the top 10 horror films
of all time? Is it on whose list?
Well, it don't matter, does it?
I'll look it
just,
up.
Just for starting the conversation.
No,
please.
Sure. What was I was about to say something there, and I've forgotten what it was. The Thing. I just want to mention The Thing. It's probably my favourite.
The Thing.
Yeah.
I changed my my avatar on Twitter to something from The Thing, and I lost about 20 followers.
Well, because you scared them. You scared your followers.
Have you seen... I started watching the original one, but it felt really boring.
No, it looks really boring.
The black and white one, which is the one before...
And another thing that's really frightening, but in a kind of heartbreaking way, is when the Brundle fly starts vomiting on his own hands and stuff.
Oh.
That's really... That always used to really... Oh.
The Brundlefly is quite frightening, though, isn't it?
And when the Brundlefly comes out as half Brundlefly, half pod, oh my god!
Oh my god!
It's brilliant.
The Podflume. I don't know what you call it.
And it's not a film, but a quick word up for Ghostwatch, which I love and have on DVD.
Pipes.
Once you know where, because you think you know where Pipes is in it, and then if you watch it with someone who really knows where Pipes is,
oh, really?
And knows all the little flashes of Pipes.
Will you explain what Ghostwatch is for people who don't know? Oh, that's my computer making
a playing advert.
Ghostwatch was a television programme that went out in, I think it was like the early 90s on the BBC, and it was a reality, it was presented, and it was billed as a real live look at this haunted house, and it had Sarah Green presenting, and Mike Smith, her husband.
And Craig Charles.
And Michael Parkinson. So all proper TV presenters, and they were presenting this, let's look at this haunted house. And they were talking to this family, and it's all kind of like, here's our haunted house. And they were like talking to experts in the studio and everything. and about two-thirds of the way, no, maybe three-quarters of the way through, things start going a bit wrong, and then you sort of get the sense that maybe, like, they start reacting as if they're, like, so everybody's poo-pooing it. Oh, there's obviously not a ghost, it's obviously just a crazy woman. And then stuff starts happening, and then the very, very last shot is of the studio going weird, and
Michael Parkinson,
possessed, and no one knew it was fake when it went out, and it had so many complaints, and people what were terrified.
I saw it live. Absolutely crap myself.
It was incredible.
What was genius about it is the TV Times had another program scheduled that was never filmed,
yeah.
And so that they could go, sorry for people waiting to watch so and so. We're gonna have to carry on with this because we can't leave now.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but
I remember seeing pipes in there on a patio. Yeah. Didn't mention it. You think I'm in a patio?
There's so much, like, and when you watch it now, right? So when you watch it now, the acting is actually quite poor. The presenting is brilliant. The presenters are really good.
The woman who plays the mother is really awful.
The daughter's really awful. A lot of the acting's awful, but it's still really, really, really fucking scary because you see Pipes so much earlier than you think. Pipes is the ghost, by the way. Probably should have
clarified
that.
Not some Pipes.
You see the ghost so much earlier than you remember seeing it in the TV. When you first see it, you think you don't see the ghost properly. You see flashes of, you don't really start noticing the ghost until about three quarters of the way through. The first instance of seeing the ghost is really early on, and you're going, oh my god, Pipes is there already. I love it. I think Ghostwatch is incredible.
Why do you think they call the hole under the stairs the glory hole? Why do you think that is?
I think that's a silly joke. And actually,
sort of religious thing, praying thing.
Yeah, and I don't think people knew that glory hole was
a hole to put your dick in.
A hole to put your dick in the early. Well, I think the program makers probably did.
You think they are knowing?
Yeah, I think
about
it's a joke.
That. Right.
Well, they call it glory hole on the thing.
Yeah, yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's Ghostwatch is. I mean, you could never do that piece of TV. It's like Orson Welles' War of the Worlds.
Very similar. Thing, yeah.
It's that sort of. Like, people completely bought into the idea that they were actually witnessing the ghost of a child killer coming and scaring people.
Scaring Craig Charles. And, I mean, that's one of the most frightening things you could think of, isn't it?
But they're so good. The four of them are so good. It's a shame they've got such bad actors.
Yeah.
But actually...
Your laptop's taking off.
It's just... My laptop's really old now. It's terrible. I'm looking up some of the top 10 scary films, the not zeros.
Of the zeros. Oh, okay. It's Paranormal Activity on there.
It's not in there. Wreck is on there. Very.
I've seen Wreck.
Oh, great Spanish.
I don't really like zombie films.
It's a vampire.
Is Wreck a vampire? I thought it was a zombie. I thought it was an outbreaky type thing.
Oh, yeah, similar sort of thing. Yeah. Let the Right One In.
That's good.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah, not
remake's
yeah.
not as good.
Yeah. It's not that scary. It's a good film.
The Descent.
Love it.
Really underrated. Really.
I went to see The Descent. We've got two copies of The Descent.
Yeah, we have.
We went to see The Descent at the cinema, not really knowing a lot about it. Just, you know, I like horror films. And it was incredible. Me and Sarah Kendall once spent like a 3-hour drive to a gig just talking about the film The Descent.
It's about these ladies who go caving. Really underrated. It's terrifying.
And it's like, it's, the opening scene's terrifying in the car. When she loses when the thing with her husband, the whole reason for the set, but yeah, it's a really, really terrifying film.
But not really highly regarded, is it?
I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Because it's Neil Marshall who made Dog Soldiers, which is a great.
Well, we talked about
film.
Neil Marshall last week very briefly in relation to Centurion.
Oh, because he's fallen off a cliff, hasn't he?
He has, but not while he's picking himself up doing lots of good TV. So he's directed Game of Thrones episodes and stuff, but. We talked about in the context of Macbeth, which was probably the last time Fassbender was freezing in Scotland, was probably Centurion.
Yeah.
But yes, Neil Marshall, Dog Soldiers, The Descent, Doomsday,
yeah.
And The Centurion, which is fine. But Descent is fantastic, his best film. And Dog Soldiers is really fun. Really fun.
What else on the list?
Well,
the end of The Descent is really frightening. Actually, I'll tell you the bit in The Descent. I won't spoiler it, but it's the bit where quite near the end and there is an accidental death, and that bit horrified me.
It's a film called Inside that I haven't seen.
Is that a French film?
Yes, it looks like
it's got Beatrice Dahl in it. Yeah, I've seen that. Right, what that is about is a crazy Beatrice doll kind of tracks down this woman who is pregnant and wants to steal her baby from her womb.
Oh, okay.
Don't watch it if you're pregnant. I hated it. It's really, really gory. And, like, there are some amazing French horror films, actually, around, like, Martyrs as well. That's probably
that's on there, yeah.
Martyrs and Inside are both that really bleak.
What's Martyrs roughly about?
Martyrs is about... Have you seen Martyrs?
No.
Martyrs is about two girls who... when one of them is young, she is kidnapped by this family and tortured. And she gets out, and well, by this man and woman, she gets out, and the film starts with her going to their house, and they're having a lovely French breakfast of croissants and hot chocolate with their two kids, so they're proper suburban family, and she goes to their house, and she guns them down. The whole family. This is the start of the film. Guns them all down. Her friend comes along and helps to help her clear up and goes, are you sure this was right? You know, you've just gunned down a family. She's like, I'm convinced these are the people that did it to me. We're left wondering. She finds a little cubby hole, goes into the cubby hole, and there's a whole underground torture chamber. So these guys were psychopaths. She's gunned them down. Then the film starts. And it's about these two girls being... they're both tortured by this sort of secret society, and I can't remember what happens to one of them, but one of them's left standing in the end, and it's about torturing her to the brink of death. It's really bleak.
Oh my god,
it's so bleak.
The Mist is on there, which I think is a terrible B movie.
You liked that, didn't you?
It was fun. It was a fun B movie. Yeah,
one of the most depressing endings in the history of film.
Yeah. I don't believe that the ending is anywhere near as depressing as either Inside or Martyrs.
Shutter, have you seen that? That's on this list.
No.
Asian horror film.
No, I haven't.
Trick or Treat.
No, that sounds awful.
That does. Drag Me to Hell is worthy of mention. Very, very good.
Drag Me to Hell. That's scary. That's got a scary ending.
And funny as well.
And it's really funny.
Ginger Snaps. I think that was rubbish when I saw that.
Ginger Snaps is terrible.
It's not
terrible. I don't know why that's on there.
It's an analogy for Lady Periods.
Lady Periods. Like Carrie is.
Yeah, but yeah, Ginger Snaps is pretty rubbish.
Let the Right One In's on the list.
Yeah, that's good. So it's not scary, it's a kids' film, if you ask me. Do you want to introduce your children
session,
to horror?
Session 9.
What's that?
Never even heard of it. Low budget film. Reminiscent of The Shining. Well, there we go. There's a few.
There's a few for you.
On Halloween night, if you want to watch something scary, watch The Thing or Alien or American Werewolf in London or Nightmare on Elm Street. Don't watch Martyrs, don't watch Inside. They'll make you so sad.
Yeah, Halloween's supposed to be, you know, a happy, spooky night,
yeah,
isn't it?
American Werewolf in London is the perfect...
It's my favourite film.
Yeah, film for Halloween. Or The Thing, they're both top 10 films.
Oh, The Thing is absolutely sublime, yeah. Really, really fun. Well... That'll probably do for this week.
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do for Halloween.
If you want to send me an email just to chat about horror films, I'm totally up for that.
Then you can do so. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. We'll pass it on. Or you can go on Facebook/FilmFandango, or you can tweet us @FilmFandango, @MrDavidReed, @MaritLarwood, or @CaptainWard.
Yeah.
And in this holiday period... let us mention that we do this for free for over 200 episodes now. So if you've enjoyed those and you would like to pay us whatever you can for the privilege so we can continue doing this, we do have expenses, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there, and everyone who has. Thank you very much!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.